We also have a firm belief in the benefits of travel and the barriers it breaks down and the empathy you get for other cultures and the things you learn. It's just like, that's the most important piece of it.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by Oboz Footwear, my feet's ride-or-die adventure shoe brand. So stay tuned for more from both of them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Okay, here we go. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in today, wherever you are. I am here with a longtime friend and colleague of sorts, Vince Mazuka, who is currently the category director for technical products at a little company you may have heard of called Osprey Packs. And especially if you're a listener of this show, for years, Vince was the marketing director at Osprey. And it's because of his role there that I crossed paths with him way back around, I think it was 2015 when I started working with Osprey. Maybe it was 2016 when you and I started working together, Vince. But I feel like this is a long time coming to actually have you as a guest on the show. So I'm excited for this conversation and just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. It's great to be here.
It is my pleasure, truly. You know, one thing I would like to say about events, and I hope that you don't get mad at me for this, is that I have seen and I know how busy you are with work, with life, with all the things. And yet every time I have a conversation with you, whether it's on a call in the middle of a busy work day or literally like in the middle of an exhibition hall at a conference or a show, you always make me feel like I'm the only person in the room and that you have all the time in the world to talk to me. And I don't know how you do it, but it's noticeable and it's admirable and I so appreciate it. So I really am grateful for your time and I think this is going to be fun.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate that. And you know, hopefully other people feel the same. You know, I remember when you reached out and you made an effort to come and talk to Osprey at, I believe it was Outdoor Retailer many moons ago.
Yeah.
And you came over to our media event and then I think that's really kind of the start of how we started working together. And it's been cool to see it continue to take shape and to get to work with you some, but then also have kind of the rest of our team work even closer with you and have you down here in the Cortez office. And but yeah, I know I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, I guess I'll start out with a little bit more background here for the listeners. I have been an official Osprey ambassador for 6 years now, since 2019, which is when the program was officially started. But beyond that, we have done so many fun projects together, including the documentary called Chiloé that won an award at a film festival that was based down in Patagonia. In fact, I can link to it in the show notes. I'm very proud of that. I loved that project. We worked together to send backpacks to many of my Jump Adventures participants on multiple trips over the years. And we've done photo shoots and video shoots. I've been down to the Osprey studio. Osprey is currently a title sponsor of this very podcast. So I think it's safe to say we've had a very active partnership over the years. And here we are adding one more thing to that list with this chat today.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Chiloé and that film, I think it's a good example of, not to kind of get into like behind the scenes of what makes a great partnership, but you know, what has been awesome in this partnership, and I think where we find a lot of value in all partnerships is when there's kind of creative thought partnership. I remember, that project specifically, we kind of had talked to you about, you know, we're launching a new redesign of the Fairview and Farpoint packs, and we'd like to tell a great adventure travel story, and you just came to us with like options and like, let's get this done, let's go. And within a month or so, you know, you and Dan and the crew were in Patagonia, yeah, and working on it. And so that level of partnership is just, I mean, it's fun, but it's also just, it's really important for brands like us.
Yeah, I actually really appreciate that you said that too, because that's one of the most fun things about my position is that there are no real limitations. It's a creative position, and every partnership that I get to enter into can be limitlessly creative. And I love that this is one thing we've been able to really, exercise over the years is our creativity and how we can, you know, what are we going to do next? And yeah, it's been so fun because we've done so many different things. And I think, I don't know, I also think it's a real testament to you guys and what you're willing to do. And I also, just for the record, so that everybody hears, I believe in what you guys are doing. Like, I love your story as a company, and I feel so supported by you. And it's such a cool thing because I'm just one person, you know, just doing my job over here, podcasting and whatever the heck I'm doing. And you guys have just been there like, yep, we believe in you. We're here to support you. Let's do this together. And let's keep having these fun, cool, creative ideas. So thank you.
Yeah,
for this, awesome, for this partnership. Actually, it's super fun. It's really cool. Okay, so one of my ideas today is to get into kind of, well, we're going to make this fun, but it's to get into packing because, you know, we're two travelers with two different perspectives. We're both really used to traveling for various reasons. So we've got adventure travel, we've got business travel, we've got like whatever the heck kind of travel. And I have my go-to stuff. And I'm sure you have your go-to stuff. And so I wanted to offer that perspective, those perspectives today, and kind of get into like the adventure kit and how we pick our, you know, luggage for different kinds of trips and why it matters and all of that. And on that note, I also have a bonus for our listeners today that I am going to share towards the end of the episode. But for now, let's start with some of the easier stuff, which I just mentioned your title for work, which I'm not actually sure what that means. But maybe you can just shed a little bit more light on your own background for us, and specifically, you know, more about you personally and where you're from and how you became so outdoor oriented and landed, you know, your position with Osprey in the outdoor industry. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll try and give my background in a fairly succinct version of it. But I guess where I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I moved around as a kid a lot. I was born in Sacramento, California. We lived in Georgia and Pittsburgh. And then, you know, since then I've bounced around quite a bit as well. But anyways, high school and college was in Pittsburgh. And my intro into kind of the outdoor industry, came from a place of personal passion, like I think a lot of us, you know, who work in this space, we start as kind of, you know, a climbing dirt bag or a mountain biker or both. And then we discover through working at a shop that there are these brands that make this amazing product, and there's this whole network of people who work for them. And, you know, I was fortunate almost 20 years ago that, you know, a brand was willing to take a shot on me and hired me. And that was, he's still actually a mentor to this day, Joel Grabenstein at Yakima Racks. I worked for Yakima for 6.5-7 years. He hired me as an East Coast tech rep. So the first kind of 4.5 years of my foray into this industry was servicing the East Coast in a kind of a tech rep fashion, which is essentially my territory was Florida to Maine, as far west as Chicago. And I was living out of a branded Subaru that had Yakima all over it, and, you know, bikes and boats, and essentially spent 8 to 9 months on the road straight each year, visiting retail shops, doing clinics, doing merchandising, working, you know, paddling festivals, bike events, music festivals, and everything like that on the weekends. And at the time, being, you know, 25, it was like the greatest job in the world, to just kind of travel nonstop. And And that was my entry into the industry. And, you know, since then I moved from, at the time I was actually in Asheville, North Carolina, and moved to Portland, Oregon to work in-house with Yakima. I was there for a little bit longer, and then moved down to Bend, Oregon to work at Roughwear, the outdoor dog gear company, mm-hmm. and kind of manage yeah. social media and PR and things, and kind of mostly more in the digital space. And then, you know, I'd always been interested in Osprey. I'd kind of always had my eye on this brand. I had actually interviewed at for a role at Osprey a few years before I ended up here. So I ended up moving to Cortez, Colorado, where Osprey is based, a little over 10 years ago. At the time, it was for a marketing role. And so, yeah, I was in that marketing director role for 10 years. And then just recently, this past June, have taken a bit of a pivot and moved over to our product team, which is a thrilling and exciting new kind of career path after, you know, almost 20 years in the marketing space. But all of it's been very adjacent to kind of the product role, in a sense that I've always been in marketing for very product-driven brands, and someone who came up like clinicking on product, spending, you know, being very hands-on on product. It's just been a natural extension and kind of a new path.
That really makes sense to me, though, like how you started and where you are now, just because essentially, like when you're the person using the products, I mean, you could design it yourself. I mean, when you're the one out there using it, you're the expert, whatever it is. And so getting your hands dirty, using all this stuff and being on the road and then learning the industry and ending up in a place where now you're, what is it that you're actually doing? Like, what's,
what do you do here? That's a good question. Know? Well, I will just stop really quick. As you mentioned, I could design it myself. And after spending, time with our designers, I can tell you, I could not design it myself. They're absolutely incredible. I can, as a category director, your role is kind of in that product management space where you're really kind of building out what is the roadmap for the next 5 years of our technical product line. So at Osprey, we have kind of three core categories. We have technical, travel, and lifestyle. And there's a lot of overlap between the three, but we have kind of, you know, people who manage those lines. And we manage like, what are we going to be working on each year for the next 5 years on a seasonal basis, kind of building business cases for them, and then managing briefing in those products and then working closely with the design and development teams as those are being designed. So I don't actually design the products. We have, like I said, incredibly talented designers who are kind of all over the world. And now that I've moved into this role, I've always kind of had an adoration for what they do, but now that I'm in this role and we actually work closer with them, they're just absolutely phenomenal. So anyways, that's kind of, you know, in a nutshell what I do. So I'm going to manage the trajectory of the product line and the overall kind of line architecture and kind of make sure it makes sense for the globe. You know, we have different needs here in the US as we do in Europe and in Asia. And so we're just making sure that all the markets are kind of set and have the products they need.
Wow. That actually sounds like a really big job. I'm thinking about, you know, the products that I know. And the reason I think that we've gotten to work closely on some of the projects we mentioned earlier is because I just fell in love with the Farpoint back in the day. Before it was the Trek. And I got to see the evolvement of that pack and how it got adapted to adventure travel, which was like this is perfect for me, you know, because yep. I mean, I used that Farpoint 55 with the detachable day pack for like 3 years when I was nomadic. And that was what I used. Yep. That was my carry on. That was it. And now, I mean, I still have it. It's blue. It's faded. It is so faded. But I'm onto the Trek now, and it's like the most beautiful pack because it's like, it's so comfortable. It has the water bottle pockets on the outside. Like it's better suited for my type of travel. And I feel like I got to play a part in that because the Chiloé adventure, that documentary was like the beginning of the Fairview Trek. The life of the Fairview Trek was so much fun.
Yeah.
It's cool to see these products evolve and Oh man, it sounds like a big job to be the one to decide how that's, well, the one, but on the team, you know, that decides where that's going. And that's a big deal.
It's fun. It's exciting. Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. At times, terrifying. You know, because I stand on the shoulder of people who have done this for a long time. I mean, this opportunity opened up because Eric Hammerschlag, the previous category director, you know, retired after almost 20 years here, and you know, he's done such an amazing job of kind of being the vision behind our technical line for so long. And so, you know, you're essentially inheriting what is an amazing line, which is a little terrifying, but it's also really exciting. And it's exciting to put some, you know, some new eyes and fresh perspective, but fresh perspective who has 10 years at the brand. So I do have an understanding of the brand and our technologies and our culture and our consumer to know, you know, what to respect and what we can put some fresh eyes on and maybe take a new twist on.
Is there anything you're really hoping to accomplish with this next job? Well, I mean, in this
role,
yeah, like any products or anything that you'd really like to see?
That's a huge question. because right now we have a very mature product line, especially on the outdoor technical side of things. So there aren't a ton of gaps that I'm looking to necessarily plug right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. But it is like in a lot of cases, it's like those little refinements that can still bring some excitement. And frankly, so because I do manage the technical side of our business, a lot of it's around, this is going to sound like probably a stretch and maybe too altruistic, but some of it is more, it's probably less around the specific product and more around how we can, and this kind of goes to how I see my role being, the best way to describe this, but I've come from the branding side, right? So I've spent 10 years on the brand side and now I'm in the product side. And one of the things that we're bridging this gap and trying to understand how we can get more people into outdoor activities. And that's always been the case, right? But we are actually seeing through research that younger, kind of Gen Z and younger, unless they were exposed to outdoors through very active outdoor parents who took them camping on a regular basis, they're glued to their phones. And literally we have interviews of them saying, I have a problem with this, and this is what keeps me from going outside. That again, like that sounds really altruistic, and I'm here to bring product to market, but how do we do it in a way that also brings product along with stories, along with groups that help kind of maybe not necessarily like break the paradigm? You know, Osprey's not going to be the one who gets everyone off their phones, but can we at least get a few more people outside?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. You do speak to a lot of different audiences. And it's, I mean, I can see it. I know it in the marketing, and I know because of my, I think it's requirements or whatever it is as an ambassador, I see the back side of things sometimes at Osprey, and I know how big of a pillar it is for you guys to, you know, reach other markets and be for everybody, mm-hmm. everybody. So
yeah, not easy to do.
And I know. No, of course not. And I mean, it's hard to have a small platform today, you know, and you guys have a really big voice. And so it's easy to get caught in whatever the latest thing is going on. But it's also our responsibilities with a platform to do what we believe in. And you're going in the right direction with that, which is really great. And you know, you can only do your part, but you're doing your part. You're showing up for it. And that matters.
That's why, I will go going back to the partnership. I think that's also largely why we've believed so much in what you do, is because you have used your platform, like just the idea of JOMP. Like, you know, remember one of my favorite travel taglines we've had is book the ticket, you know, and it's just like, you know, get people to book the ticket and go. And and so, you know, I think we're constantly tearing apart, you know, even just like little messaging, if there's something in a email where the copy has any hint of like the challenges that may come in travel, we're like, get that out of there. Like, we need to inspire people to go travel. Like, yeah, there could be hiccups, but that is part of it. There's hiccups when you go for a mountain bike ride. You might get a flat tire, but we're not going to tell people you're going to get a flat tire if you go mountain biking. That's not motivating. So, yeah, I think we just believe in folks like you who use your platform to just inspire people to get out and travel, and not just for the sake of traveling, but we also have a firm belief in the benefits of travel and the barriers it breaks down and the empathy you get for other cultures and the things you learn. It's just like, that's the most important piece of it.
That's exactly why I do it all. That's that's what, you know, it's because I went and learned, and thank you for saying all of that, by the way. I really appreciate that. But yeah, that's why I'm even here. That's why we're here, is because I went and lived that and learned all those things and said, why isn't everyone doing this, you know, and how can we get everyone to do this? And that's one thing I really believe in, is I'm not here to be in every single role, but I know what my role is. And as long as I keep showing up for that, then I feel, you know, that I'm playing my part.
Yep.
And when I can get into a partnership with a company like you, like everybody's winning, you know, and we're just doing our part. We're just showing up for our part, and it feels good. And hopefully we're going to inspire people along the way. And but I mean, you know, in order to go do these things, you need a backpack. In order to travel, like, you've got to book the plane ticket. Like, you've got, everything matters. All the little pieces along the way, you need the person to say, go do the thing.
Yep.
You know, it does all. It's all part of the same formula equation. So,
yeah.
Let's say people are going to listen to this and they're going to say, all right, it's time. Let's go do something, whether it's back or biking or whatever it is. Let's start getting into a little bit of the technical side of things, of the product side of things, because I, for one, know how helpful it is when people get very specific, you know, and that's how I originally built my platform, was just like, here are the details. So with details, maybe we can start sharing a little bit about kind of how we go about the packing portion once we know we're going on a trip. What kind of travel do you do, like, throughout the year? How often do you travel, and what kind of trips are those? Like, what does it look like for you?
Yeah, it's evolved a bit over the years. You know, I just got back from 2 weeks in Asia. That was a work trip. And my work trips, I typically combine them with, you know, there's always a pair of running shoes and some running clothes, in my pack, if it's specifically a work trip. And there's definitely, other periods of my life, it was multiple climbing trips a year. I think in the last, I'd say 6 months, it's been a bit more work trips and then short road trips. You know, road trips out to the desert for hiking, running, mountain biking, etc. But yeah, so it's evolved, and I'd say, like, my packing list and that, like, required gear list, has evolved a bit too. It's gotten a little bit simpler, and it's more focused on, you know, using kind of running as a means to explore kind of wherever I'm at, whether it's a work trip or a for pleasure trip. But yeah, so it's evolved.
Yeah, no, I understand that, because life evolves.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And a work trip for you is, I mean, that's it, different from a work trip for me. I mean, my work trips are super adventure based, and your work trip, I imagine you were going to visit your factories and
we have an office in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh, a design center there. We have 50 to 60 people there, designers, developers, and an amazing team there. And so I went to spend about a week and a half with them, just, you know, as I've moved into this new role, kind of getting integrated into their processes, and working on kind of how and when we hand certain seasons off to developers to start kind of working with our factory partners. So I spent time with them, but that team out there is also extremely active. And so, you know, they took me out on some pretty amazing trails for some kind of longer runs on the weekend, and they're extremely active. And so spent, yeah, about a week and a half there. And then I actually stopped in Tokyo on the way back to visit with another team that we have in Tokyo. And just kind of doing a big market visit there. So that's one version of travel. Another version for me, like how I met you, was at a trade show. So oftentimes kind of going out to an exhibition or events, a lot of consumer events, and staying connected to, you know, those who are actively engaged in whatever activity the event is, whether that's, you know, run, bike, climb, you name it.
So you still get up to plenty of adventure when you, even for business
Yeah,
trips.
We have to mix it in. Yeah. And that's, you know, I think it's also, we do work for Osprey. Like, you know, I don't, they say the plumber's pipes are always leaky, but I don't want to, just because I work in the outdoor space, not get outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually just, I think it was, at this point, I think it's the last episode, was all about trail running as a essentially like the purpose of traveling, and just pursuing the things that light you up when you're traveling, instead of, you know, just going to see the sites that other people are interested in seeing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that happens though, when you do this, when you add the adventure into, is that you have to have like this hybrid packing. Like, you've got to like have like your casual outfits or whatever, your travel, and then you've got to have your adventure kit.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you know what I mean when I say adventure kit, right?
Yep.
Maybe, will you, what is an adventure kit?
I mean, I was sticking on the theme of running. Like I've mentioned, running, when I'm bringing, I definitely prefer to not necessarily have a ton of luggage and have a ton of gear, unless I'm going somewhere and doing like a more, if I'm going somewhere and going to be climbing, obviously I'm bringing more gear. But if I'm, for most of my travel, I like to have basically be carry on if possible. Sometimes going for those Asia trips, you end up bringing a big suitcase because you're probably going to be hand carrying some prototypes and samples and stuff home. So it's a little bit of a different need, but even there, like, I can't take up a bunch of space because I'm going to need that space coming back. So my like adventure kit usually involves, you know, a pair of running shoes that are kind of in a little dry sack so that they can be kind of like separated from everything else, because like they may start clean when you leave your house, but you know, when you're running in 90 degree and 90%+ humidity in Vietnam, they're probably getting a little bit muddy, and having those, but having a way for those to kind of stay separate from the rest of your gear is important. And then, you know, your basic, just some running clothes. It's nice because those don't take up much space. And also the nice thing about, like, I usually do bring a running vest as well. And those are nice because they don't take up much space. And if I'm going somewhere or flying somewhere and we're actually going to be like mountain biking, that running vest still works. Like, you know, we have a ton of mountain bike packs as well, but if I'm flying somewhere, that running vest just like packs down small. It's like just kind of an easy thing to have in that adventure kit, and use it for hiking, running, mountain biking, or pretty much anything.
And just in case people don't know what you mean by running vest, it's actually the hydration vest.
It is, yeah.
So, usually you can fit a layer or something in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's plenty of storage. So if I can carry a little rain jacket, I also always carry, as part of my kit, like a little
rain jacket.
A very kind of small packable one. As we get into winter months, you know, that would change, where I'm bringing a couple extra layers, like a mid layer and a puffy and then a shell, and kind of having those as a system. And then as I'm going somewhere where it's warmer, the puffy might go away, but the base layer and the shell would probably still come. It's really just that warmer puffy that would come if I'm going into like a winter environment.
We'll come right back to that, but first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Once upon a time in 2015, I set out with my trusty Osprey Fairview 55 travel pack and did not come back for, about 3 years. That entire time, I traveled the world nomadically with my Fairview 55. It was the first Osprey pack I fell in love with, and the Farpoint Fairview line has only gotten better over the years. And Osprey has just come out with a brand new updated version of the Farpoint and Fairview travel packs in 40 liter, 55, and 70, and they are exclusively available now at osprey.com and at REI.
My two favorite features of the Farpoint Fairview travel packs are that they open like a suitcase, so much room for activities and packing cubes, and that they have detachable day packs built into the 55 and 70. These packs all include Blue Sign approved 100% recycled materials and will hold up beautifully for weeks or, if you're like me, months and months of travel. And if you need more space, they pair gloriously with the Transporter Wheeled Duffel, which is my go-to for absolutely everything now. Can't stop, won't stop. I love it. Find the new Farpoint and Fairview travel packs, plus all the travel packing accessories you need, plus the beautiful Transporter Wheeled Duffels, and join me in my adventure packing bliss at osprey.com. Hiking and hitting the trails is a year-round adventure opportunity, even in the snow. It just means you need the right gear, and no one knows this better than Oboz Footwear, because they hail from the often cold and snowy mountains of Bozeman, Montana. I once took a pair of waterproof insulated Oboz boots on a winter trip to Canada where I went snowmobiling, dog sledding, ice fishing, ski hawking, that's a special thing in Quebec, snowshoeing, and fat tire biking, and I did it all in my one pair of Oboz adventure boots. It was the easiest shoe packing solution I've ever experienced on a trip, and my feet were warm and dry and so comfortable the entire time. I want this kind of winter adventure success for you and your feet too. So check out Oboz Footwear's full line of insulated, rugged hikers and winter boots that will keep your feet happy from town to trail. Oh, and remember that every pair of footwear you get from Oboz helps plant trees. Learn more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
I guess the way that I think of the adventure kit is like you can apply it to running or biking or kayaking or hiking, whatever it is, because I think what it comes down to is two things. There's two like rules for adventure packing. One is cotton is rotten. You got to have synthetics. So you got to have like the base, like maybe merino wool or whatever synthetic that you're running in so that you can get the quick dry moisture wicking. And also they tend not to, you're going to be re-wearing these things probably without option for laundry. And,
that's what I was going to say. The quick dry is nice too, because you can do just like, you know, a bird bath in a sink with your, like your own like kind of laundry in a sink or a shower and hang them up. And by the time you're back the next, you know, that evening, it's good to go.
It's dry. Right. Yeah, so synthetics. And then the other rule is layering. And if you can get your layers down, you can pack for absolutely anything. And you really only need, well, I mean, you were talking about the layers that you put on the outside. So you got like your warm puffy, a fleece or a mid layer. Usually you have like your go-to. Do you have like your go-to of these things, of these layers? Are you just like I could pack with my eyes closed. Like I know exactly what's coming into my bag because these are exactly the things that I've used over the years. And I know that this is my layering system. Boom,
yeah.
Done.
I do have go-tos. Probably my most used layer, if we're getting into kind of like brands and product names and things like
sure.
that.
Yeah,
I will say,
detail. I
before
love
I get into like saying, I always say this too, and we have a ton of packs, right? And we have a pack for you if you're looking for a specific pack. That said, the best pack is the one that gets you out the door. So like whatever you have, don't let not
love
having
that.
The right something, because we said like, oh, I don't leave home without my Outdoor Research Echo hoodie, which is the layer that I bring
yeah.
everywhere. don't let not having that be the reason you don't leave the house. But my favorite layer easily, Four Seasons, is the Outdoor Research Echo hoodie. And it's just it's kind of like a cross between like a base layer, and it works well as a sun shirt in the summer, but also great as just like a base layer in the winter that you can layer on top of. So it's really like, to me, that's like the Four Season piece that I just don't go anywhere without.
Yeah. I have my go-tos as well. I think that my absolute favorite, like I would cry if I lost this item, is it's turquoise, go figure. My Patagonia fleece, like it's one of the zip up performance fleeces, and it kind of takes up a lot of space because it's a fleece, right? I mean, it's a performance fleece, so it's not like super bulky, but dude, that thing is, I'm never without it. And I don't even wear it at home all that often, but it's such a good adventure piece. It's like such a important part of my layering that's my non-negotiable. It's always with me. And that it's like, I can wear a t-shirt under it or a tank or a long sleeve. And then the next layer would be a vest. And then you've got either a Houdini. I love, do you have a Patagonia Houdini jacket? Those are amazing. That that's the, like the wind layers, like that extra just kind of wind layer, especially for running, hey?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Packs down to next to nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. I actually, here's a packing hack for you. You know, on the bottom of the backpacks where the rain fly sometimes goes, sometimes there's a little zipper on the bottom of the pack for your rain fly. I shove my Houdini in there next to the rain fly because it just
makes
like,
sense.
Squishes down and then it's always there. And then you've got that rain layer twice in the rain layer pocket. So, but yeah, the Houdini is a really good one because it's crushable and super versatile. And then a puffy and a rain jacket. And I'm also going to say this out loud because I have done a ton of research on rain jackets. And the only one that really seems to be waterproof to me, because it's really important, is I go with Arc'teryx. I have Arc'teryx on the top and the bottom, like my rain pants and my rain, and they're expensive, but you know what? They work.
If
it's
Gore-Tex.
If it's not Gore-Tex,
And that for me, that depends on what I'm doing. Like I have a simpler, really small, the helium jacket. It's basically, it packs down to just maybe a little bit bigger than the Houdini, but it is fully taped and sealed. And so it is waterproof. But that's for, you know, for, again, for like for running or hiking and things like that, where it's maybe less committing. But if I'm going to be somewhere like deeper in the mountains where it is more committing or something in the winter, then I will go with more of a harder Gore-Tex layer that that will, where protection is like really essential.
Yeah. I find myself in Patagonia a lot.
Yeah. So you're, exactly. You're wearing Gore-Tex.
I used to be the girl that like, I can get by, like I didn't have waterproof anything pretty much. I would still just wear leggings and like running shoes. Oh my gosh. I remember the one trip where I swore to never make that mistake ever again because we just got hammered.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like hiking through volcanoes and it's just like sleeting and raining and snowing and like we were just soaking wet. And I was like the only person there without rain. It's my trip and I'm like leading
this
trip. I don't have waterproof pants on, like never again. And that was when I bought my Arc'teryx pants. But yeah, I feel invincible. Like now that I have this adventure kit with like these layers that I just trust so much, and it takes a while and it's expensive to like build your kit, but once you figure out the right layers, like you can go anywhere, do anything, adapt it to any trip, any weather, any kind of activity.
Yeah, and it takes a while. It can be expensive, but it also takes those experiences like you were just talking about to dial it in, right? Like
to learn.
You know, we can sit here and tell you what like our favorite pieces of gear are, or you know, you can kind of and a lot of those come from experience, and you know, I think these are all like really good kind of pieces of a kit to recommend, but it really takes like going through it and, you know, having those experiences to then think like, okay, to either confirm that you had the right kit or reassure why you need something else.
And all of a sudden, sometimes it doesn't seem so expensive when you're like, damn it, I would pay $200 or $400 exactly. right now for that waterproofing. Yeah. You're just out there drenched, you know? Yeah, those experiences happen. But I mean, that's like any part of life. Sometimes you have to go learn it for yourself and get out there. But it's a good point because these are things you can learn in your own backyard. You know, you don't have to travel to Patagonia to learn what it feels like to hike in the rain. In fact, this is so funny. I was just in Patagonia, of course, like a month ago. And I came back and I suggested a walk or a hike. I was going to do something with a friend and it was windy. It wasn't even raining. It was just really windy. And that person was like, it's a little windy. Like it's super windy out. Like I'm not going to go for a hike. I'm like, wow, the sun is shining. Like in Patagonia, this is a Tuesday, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's slightly windy.
I mean, yeah, it's a good point is people tend to not want to go outside when the weather is bad, which like let's talk about running in the rain for 5 seconds. How wonderful is running in the rain?
Yes. Yeah. It's like you finish and you're just like, wow, I'm like completely just rejuvenated most of the time.
Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I did live in Portland for a little while, and after like a month of it, you're like, yeah, I could use some sunshine.
Perspective.
But but it is, it is though. It's true. And it is a great way to test gear and test your kits and test your systems without being in some sort of like committed space, or being, you know, in a foreign country and not knowing, okay, well, where do I get the gear that I need? Like I should have gone out on that windy day to test if this was actually a windproof jacket.
Yeah, such a good point. I'm also going to shout out something else that I learned the hard way. Do you have a pair of those? The ones I have are just REI brand. They're like shell mittens. They just go over your gloves. You have some of those?
I don't know. I have a pair of just like, they're just like a thin glove, but they have like a little deployable wind shell that forms a wind shell mittens.
I've got some of those.
But yeah,
too.
The
shell ones, I didn't even know this existed. It was definitely like, it was my first ever W Trek in Patagonia. And I had, this is embarrassing, but you know, those like cotton gloves that you can literally buy at the dollar store. Like they're just, I don't even know. That's what I had with me. It's like, I was planning on going all over the world. This was like the first day of my first year as a nomad, you know? So I just had packed for everything and like didn't really know what to expect. Went straight to Patagonia and had these cotton gloves, which did absolutely nothing. And one of the guys eventually was like, oh, do you want to try these shell mittens? Like, I have these other gloves. And I had a Dumb and Dumber moment. I was like, you've had two pairs of gloves this whole time. And I'm like dying over here, you know, and he gives me these shells to use. And it was, I just didn't ever even know they existed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these waterproof just mittens where like my little hands could just go inside and be toasty and like dry out. I also never, even if I'm not expecting rain, I don't leave without those, because the other thing they're really good for that I've discovered is on a bike ride, if you get any kind of like cold weather or rain or wind, they will protect your hands because you're going with speed on a bike. And I wear them on a bike so often, I find. So, I mean, again, these are things you don't know what you don't know, and you learn as you go. And
right.
But yeah.
The other piece I was going to mention that isn't necessarily apparel related, that no matter where I'm going, I don't leave home without, is a headlamp.
Oh, yeah.
It's just essential. Like, and it's something that you could be in a very silly situation. Even if you're like, actually, I'm going to be staying like in a hotel and I don't really have, I'm not camping, I don't need a headlamp. It's pretty regular. You go out for a little hike in the afternoon or something, and it's like, it'd be really nice to not have to walk by the light of my my phone right now.
Yep. You never know. That's a good one. Headlamp is a good one. I will also include I think everybody has these now, but when I first got one, it was like, I was like the first one to have one, I felt like, but it's like a giant, one of those anchor battery chargers, because you can then as long as you have your phone, you can always have, you know, that's one of my go-to. I mean, I obviously never go anywhere without that, but because you find yourself in places sometimes where you're camping, there's no electricity. Yep. You don't have any way to charge anything. You've got to make sure that phone stays on. So I would also throw that out as a,
yeah. And there's so many options for those now too, in various sizes. And that it's pretty,
that's true.
It's kind of that's definitely a must include. It also charges your headlamp if your headlamp goes out.
As long as you have a rechargeable one, yes, not the battery.
That's true.
One.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm rechargeable only on headlamps.
Yeah. On everything, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much better. What are your favorite of the Osprey packs? Because
That's such a loaded question, because we have so many.
And they're for different things too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for luggage, as far as luggage goes, I'm pretty partial to our Transporter series, which is just like coated duffels, and coated wheeled luggage. It's just like, it's pretty light. It's not necessarily like our ultralight line, but it's pretty light, but it's also just like burly, weatherproof. Like those things can take a beating. So just like a carry-on version of that, or if I'm kind of, if I need a big one, we do like a 90 liter and that's probably about as max as I'll go on those. So that's kind of like from a luggage perspective, that, one of the things that we've learned just because of the world we live in, and we obsess about luggage and packs and people and how they pack and what they pack. And, we've definitely learned that there are like, there's more than two types of packers, but if we broke it down into two types of packers, there's like the bucket dump kind of packer that's like, I don't want a bunch of organization. I just want to shove everything in and hope that the hotel has an ironing board. And then there's the like, you know, the organized ones who like, you know, once they, and in some cases we kind of, you almost, again, have to learn it and you like try it and learn your systems as you go. But the first time, like I used, this is going to sound like kind of posh, but like a garment folder, you know, which, which I honestly, like if I'm traveling, I can fit so much in a garment folder and everything. And it just organizes everything, really consolidated, really concise, all my pants, all my shirts, any shorts, everything. And I think, you know, that was kind of the first time I used one of those was kind of the first times I was like, okay, organization's actually quite nice. I can save a lot of space. Yeah. And when I get there, it's like, kind of like I've got my little drawers, like this is my shirts. This is my, Mm-hmm.
Do you color code your packing cubes?
I don't, but there definitely are. That's the next level above me. Yeah. See, you've reached that kind of like gold level status. I'm still kind of like down here. That's why they kept me in technical and not on the travel side, is because I'm still like hanging on to my non-color coded dirtbag roots.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm definitely, well, it also helps that, I mean, I've gotten packing cubes so often over the years that I have various colors, because I think you can get them all in like they're the same color or whatever, but I've got all these different colored ones. It looks like a bag of Skittles, but it's so good because for me, I mean, as a carry-on packer, because I'm with you on that, I always try to carry on if I can. Everything has a place and everything goes in its place every time. That's like one of my mottos. You can't live out of a backpack and not, I mean, I would go crazy, or live out of a truck, which I've also done, and not have that. Even just as a minimalist in life, like that's how I feel. Everything has a place and everything goes in its place every time. And so it makes it so easy when I go to pack for a trip, because I pull out like my go-to luggage, which that Osprey Transporter 40 liter is one of mine, because that's the one that carries on.
Yeah.
I get out my packing cubes and I know which clothes go in each packing cube. And it's just like, I mean, it's making it effortless for me because I've had the practice. I know what I use. I know exactly where it goes. I even know how they pack into the bag.
Well, here's a question for you. When you leave, I'm assuming it's everything in its place for the flight home. When you get home and open your luggage, is it still in the place?
Yeah. It is. The only difference is that I generally have, I have a pocket that's full of, some laundry, but not all of it.
Yep.
Like it's designated. And then, but because I know also on my way home, everything's going into the laundry anyway. And so I will repack in the same way that I packed to leave. That's how I will repack going home, because that's how everything fits. But it's amazing how Mary Poppinsable some of these bags are, because like you think you have it full on the way out. Like this last trip, I actually was gone for like a month in South America, and I carried on. I had my 40 liter wheeled transporter duffel, and I had a Cirrus, like a 24, like not a big one.
Yeah.
And that was my carry-on. And that was it. Just those two things. And I left and they were full. And I was like, I was uncomfortable. In my brain. My bags were fine, but I was like, oh no. Because I know I'm probably gonna get something when I'm down there. You know, I don't know what it is yet. Even if I just bring back treats like to share with my hockey team, which has become a thing. You know, like where am I gonna put that? Because I'm barely shutting these zippers right now. But man, it's incredible how much space you can still find in these things, and then they still carry on. Like it's so impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't include this. This isn't necessarily like part of my adventure like kit, but I do typically always bring, we have these little like ultralight stuff duffels. They pack down really small.
Oh.
And I do typically have those in there for that very reason. And it actually is, you know, is just with our Vietnam office. And after like the day I was leaving, like individually, a few of our different kind of department heads and others came up and gave me like multiple bags of like coffee and treats and snacks to bring back to the office.
Cool.
And I was like, by the time like the third or fourth person came up and gave me like a bag of stuff, I was like, oh no, like where am I going to put this? And so I had one of those little stuffed duffels just like full of coffee. I was like smuggling coffee back, but it was, that definitely came in handy.
Yeah. I always have that with me. Either that particular one, I just had that with me actually in South America. It's also really good for like when you're on a style of trip where, you know, you're going to have to unpack the stuff that's in your day pack so that you only need your hiking things.
Yep.
And yet your other bag is so full, you know, whatever it doesn't, you have got extra stuff. You have your travel shoes, like maybe everything doesn't fit because you're not packed like, perfectly packing it all the time. That extra stuff duffel comes in really handy for that because then you can just like throw it in the transfer van or whatever it is.
Exactly.
I use that thing all the time. And if I end up buying a bunch of souvenirs, like I'll pack them in the safe bag, like the bigger one that's sturdier, and I'll carry on the duffel and just throw it like
a bunch of clothes. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Do that too. The alternative to that would be the little stuffable, the stuffed day pack. And I like the waterproof one, the dry one, because it's, that's like multi.
It is. Yeah, multi-talented, that's kind of the.
A multi-talented bag.
Yeah.
Because then you have a dry bag if you need one. It's a backpack dry bag if you need one. Yep. You've got the extra space bag if you need one. Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm going to just throw this in right now because I just did this summer. I recorded a video about how to choose, like how I go, like my go-to luggage for different styles of trips. And I've gone over like all this stuff. So I'm going to link to it in the show notes because it'll put a visual to a lot of the bags that Vince and I are actually talking about right now. Because... yeah, there's definitely a system that works. And if you could figure that out, you know, and stay within the dimensions or whatever it is, then that's super helpful. There's a lot of, like the style of travel matters too, because like you said, sometimes you bring a bigger duffel, but then you have to check it. But like if I'm going on a through hiking trip and I need poles, you know, you can't carry those on. And so check that, then you've got extra space for souvenirs, whatever it is that you gotta have. And then I actually also use a couple different day packs because I have found that while the Cirrus, which is the one I just mentioned, I think it's a 26 or 24, that's my go-to because I love the hip suspension. Like I love the suspension that's like away from the back. It sits on the hip. But fun fact, you can't wear a helmet with it. And so you could, but you can't like put your head back.
Right.
And so anytime that I know I'm going to be, I mean, I found myself on a wall in Norway this year and on bikes and like, you got to have a helmet for these things, climbing Via Ferrata. And I had the Tempest, the other one, and that one doesn't have the same suspension, doesn't have that frame. And it allows you to have that helmet space. And so I will look at the trip. I like, okay, am I going to be wearing a helmet with a backpack at all on this trip? Like if I am, I'm going to use the Tempest, you know, but if I'm not, if it's just hiking, I go for the Cirrus because it's, or the Fairview Trek. If it's a bigger
yeah, trek. Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice.
But
yeah,
this is,
yeah, the day pack side of things is tough because I'm kind of like always testing and trying different things. But my favorite, just of all, I think my favorite pack of ours is the Mutant 22. It's a little, you know, designed for alpine and ice climbing, but it is just a great little simple pack. I use it for both, whether I'm just like hiking or I'm actually like, I have been known to wear it on a bike commute to work and on different kind of like bike rides. And just, it's a great little hyper versatile 22 liter close to body, simple pack, that just works kind of for everything.
I remember the first time I learned about that pack because we were on the Patagonia documentary trip. I was with Dan and the guys And we constantly were needing an extra pack for something.
Right.
And they had a mutant and they used the crap out of that thing. Like, it was just always grab the mutant, grab the mutant. I'm like, what's this mutant pack? Like, that was my first intro to that. But you're right. It's incredibly versatile and packs down and yeah. Yeah. All right. Now we know.
Yeah.
Vince's favorite pack. I love that. I think mine would have to be that Cirrus 24. Yeah,
so comfortable.
That's my go-to. And I love the color that I have, but that, and then the wheeled transporter duffels, those are like, with those, I'm so set. Okay. And we've also learned that you're a little bit of a packing cube person, but
a little bit,
you have a level up to go still. We got to get your color coordinated. Exactly.
I'll work on that. It's not like there's a shortage of packing cubes around.
No, that's true. Okay, what I was saying before about the, like, you just don't know what you don't know, like the shell mittens, for example, this is a message to the listeners. You should just go on to the accessories part of the Osprey website and just see what there is. Because, I mean, the garment folder, I bet people have not heard of that before. Like, it's a special packing cube that folds and packs your clothes so that they don't get wrinkled. I'm a roller personally, but I mean, there's so many things that they're making these days that maybe your Instagram algorithm hasn't caught on that you need this yet, you know, like to go look and just play with it, because there's so many different ways to make packing, I don't know, easier on your life. Yeah. And on that note, I'm going to announce this right now, because I'm going to give everybody a packing list if they want one. I have a really, really awesome adventure packing list that I've used for years. I've given it out to my Jump Adventures participants, and it's the kind of packing list that you can adapt it to any activity, and it works for any weather. And I list on there everything that I bring that I just kind of was talking with Vince about. So if you want in on that, you can, I'm going to put the link in the show notes. You can go there and grab that packing list. It's also at travelingjackie.com/pack. I made it as easy as possible. So if you want to get in, and then there's also links in there to just show you some of the visuals of the Osprey packs and all of that we're talking about. And I'll make sure that all these links, everything goes into the show notes too. But, so yeah, Vince, thank you so much for all of this, your story and your tips and advice. And, I want to ask if you have any lasting thoughts to leave with our listeners today.
Book the ticket. Go.
Book the ticket. Yeah.
No, I appreciate it, Jackie. It's always fun to get some time to talk to you, and appreciate you inviting me on. And hopefully what we kind of talked through offers some inspiration for some people to book the ticket, get out, and whether it's to fly somewhere or drive somewhere, just go explore, have some fun.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you so much. If anybody does want to follow you, can they?
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
I'm just V Mazuka on Instagram. I'm Vince Mazuka on LinkedIn. I'm not hyperactive, but definitely welcome to follow me. Jump in, say hi.
Not hyperactive because you spend so much time outside in the great outdoors, not on your phone, right?
Yeah.
I love it. All right, cool. Thank you so much, Vince.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Jackie.